8. Bristol City 1, Swansea City 1. A point for City and a point that keeps them just in second slot, although it's worth pointing out that only 4 points separate us in second and the team currently occupying 14th. Joining me this evening, as usual, is Ian, Dave Fevs and Mark. We're going to go through the action and I'll begin by sort of coming to each of you. Let's just have a quick snapshot first from Ian. Just quick snapshot, your assessment on the 90 minutes action. Ian.
I think it was a fair result in the end. I think I would have settled for a point as soon as Swansea scored. Very surprised to see that Swansea only had two shots on target. But I haven't liked the Patterson-Voigtman midfield since we've done it. Even when we won games, I've said that. And we need to change it so we're not just sloppy and giving the ball away in midfield like we did for Swansea's goal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Dave, you did your usual analysis. Did Swansea play as you expected them to? I think you said to me a few moments ago, they showed us a little bit of respect by putting an extra man in the middle.
Yeah, I speculated that in my preview that they might come here and not play so expansive. And they did that by bringing in Fulton, who came into centre midfield for Jokeres. So they went with a kind of flat midfield three. And I think, you know, as we went in, you know, certainly into that second half, 1-0 down, that midfield three kind of stopped us really cutting through them. Not that we showed massive cutting intent today, but I think that was one of the reasons we found it hard to play through them. But ultimately, I think it was a one-all draw. I thought we built up a reasonable head of steam towards the end without creating too many chances. I think a draw was a fair result.
Yeah. Mark, your thoughts, brief initial thoughts on the game before we delve deeper.
Well, it was a very close game again against another team that played 3-5-2 or a slight variation of it. And I was surprised that Swansea didn't have more possession. You know, they usually play an average of 500 passes a game. I thought the game was going to slip away from City again after Patterson conceded that sloppy pass and it was in the net in two passes. But we stood up and we got a bit of a fortuitous equaliser because of the bad foul by Roberts. And the big question for me is, have he been booked already? Foul or not, penalty or not, the guy should have been sent off. And the only frustrating thing was, after we had four forwards on the pitch, why didn't we get the ball into the box more? We were in some great positions and we didn't do that. Midfield, I agree with Ian, is a bit too open. I think we'll be forced into a change on Wednesday because of Voigtman's injury. And I would play Tyreek Backinson across Brunt, who passes the ball well. Very impressed with him. And it was only really, I thought that our defence played well. We didn't really affect their back three of Cabango, Guehi and Bennett at Sardi at all in the second half. But we got a very hard-earned point in the end. And we've got to be patient and see it are a work in progress. And it's our biggest test on Wednesday night. Let's see where we go.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, so let's go back going into the game. Well, we knew that Alfie Mawson was going to be out. No date on that. He's having a specialist look at that knee. But there were five changes. Out went, as we say, Mawson. Both wing-backs, Hunt and Rowe. Backinson given a rest. And Naki Wells left out. In came Sessignon and De Silva as the wing-backs. Callas, obviously, in the starting lineup. Chris Brunt came into the middle in place of Backinson. And then Semenyo given a start ahead of Naki Wells. Ian, that lineup, any surprises in that lineup at all from your perspective?
No. I've been saying for ages, I'd like to have seen a second midfield player in there, but I didn't think he was going to do it. There is a way around it that you could have left a forward out and just played with one central striker and had the Patterson involvement joining in, which gave you another player in midfield. We didn't do it. The reason, a lot of people saying, well, we had four strikers on there and we didn't get the ball in the box. Well, that's why. Because we didn't have anybody out wide to cross it. I mean, okay, we brought O'Dowd on and he was playing extra right back. Wherever he was playing. But if you haven't got the width, and we didn't really utilise the width all game, you don't get enough crosses in. And if you don't get crosses in, you can have 9 centre forwards playing. You will not score any goals.
Okay, let's come to Dave on that lineup. And it's interesting, Steve has commented on text here, according to Holden, I guess his pre-match, don't expect to have Backinson, Walsh or Williams available until after the next international break. But what do you read into that, Dave? And indeed, the starting lineup, or the way the side shaped up?
I guess I saw most of those changes coming. I thought we might see one of Patterson and Vyman left out, probably Patterson. I thought we might have gone Brunt alongside Backinson with Vyman in there. That's probably the only difference I thought we might see against Swansea today. I'm just looking at Steve's notes there. Backinson, Walsh or Williams. Does he mean Baker, Walsh or Williams until after the next break?
Is that right? Yeah. Okay, makes sense.
That's fine. Yeah, so... Yeah, I think it was a game where perhaps we do need to freshen up. I've got no arguments with that at all. But I think that we almost lost a little bit of cohesion as a result of that. Although there were some good things as well. So it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag for me today. Yeah. There were some good bits and some not so good bits. But, you know.
Well, Backinson, just interrupting, sorry. Backinson was on the bench. Unless he's fallen over in the dressing room or done something in the warm down after the game, I can't see how he'd be missing. But you know, okay, I didn't hear the full interview, but we'll just have to see.
The other two,
very worrying, because how many games have we got before that international break? Four.
Four. Yeah. Yeah.
So and Williams and Walsh were 2 weeks ago, six weeks ago. So this is getting tiresome.
Let's go through a little bit of the action. I mean, I didn't write very much to begin with. I know we forced a couple of Ernie corners, and then on the half hour, Pato broke away, had a shot saved. I then got on the half hour, AU had his shot saved after a Chris Martin error. Smith was booked. Didn't notice Corey too much in that game. 33 minutes, Sessegnon, good cross in. Chris Martin heading just wide. 37 minutes, AU header hit the bar. And then 41 minutes, Brunt free kick. Taylor Moore, unlucky to see his really good header parried away by the keeper. But more importantly, I'll come to you, Mark, on this. Just after that Taylor Moore header had been saved, right on the stroke of half-time, Semenyo, not for the first time, got to the byline. I thought he should have had a penalty right at the end of the first half stand there.
And he, you know, with his back to the ball, I mean, there was a moment before that as well where he did a great move with Chris Martin down the left, almost like he did against Exeter. The other two will probably remember that. He played around the corner to Martin, and he should have really run for his life into the area because Chris Martin played a good ball across. But yeah, he went past his man on the outside, and he was forced out. I'd say, yeah, it might be a soft one, but yeah, that could be a penalty on VAR. It may have been a penalty, but you know, it's like in the Championship, you get away with a lot and you lose a lot.
It tends to even
itself out. But I was impressed by him today. His first touch is great. Sometimes his second or third touch is quite a little bit heavy, but there's a good player in there, and he's 20 times the player that was there at the beginning of last season or the end of the previous season when he had his aberration against Derby. I'm really impressed by him.
He's doing really well.
And he does the hard work that Wells doesn't do, although Wells is a much more accomplished finisher. It would be great if we could have a hybrid of the two, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. They wouldn't be playing for us if we did, though.
That's true.
Dave, into the second half, goal that, Swansea's the opening goal of the game on 50 minutes, sloppy by Pato, Grimes setting up Roberts and then him passing to Lowe. Good angle drive. How did you see that goal, Dave? Sloppy by Pato?
It was, because I thought we just worked the kind of little bit of pressure they put us on in that corner really well to get an out ball to Patterson, who just had to kind of get a soft touch around the corner. I think it was Vyman who was then going to kind of break clear, and he knocked it too heavily behind him. And of course, we were on the back foot from there. So it was kind of really disappointing from that point of view. And, you know, it was a very good finish from Lowe. You know, I don't think there was a lot of the goal he could have put that into and beaten Bentley. So, yeah, good. I mean, I thought the writing was probably going to be on the wall from there, to be honest.
Yeah. And about 5 minutes after that, Dave Callas did a great tackle to rob Ayew, didn't he, when he looked to be in a very good position.
Yeah, really good block. And I thought that was a feature of our defensive play the other night, that we didn't throw ourselves into challenge until, you know, the point that the shot came in. So we kind of stayed on our feet, and Callas did exactly the same thing. He stayed on his feet. He shepherded across goal, you know, almost moving him towards another player, so that I really didn't have a shot on when he hit the shot. But it was a really good challenge.
Yeah. Ian, I thought a couple of times in the first half, our two young central defenders were muscled off it a couple of times, yeah. And, you know, we talk about our two young defenders, Viner and Taylor Moore. They're both 23, but Swansea had two 20-year-olds alongside their more experienced man. But how do you think the two so-called youngsters in our team played defensively today?
I thought it was probably one of Viner's better games. I certainly think he was better than Taylor Moore. Mm. If I had to mark the defence, I thought that the only thing I'd mark Callas as well down on is distribution. I think there are far, far, far too many sloppy passes and poor first touches. And not just from them, I'm talking players like Andy Vyman, Jamie Patterson, giving the ball away too much. They're not going to win it back because they haven't got a great tackle in them. They might intercept the ball, which is what happened in the first half when Patterson created that great chance for himself. When he should have gone on, he should have took it further, and he had time to get it back on his right foot and curl it in if he wanted to, because the shot with his left foot, I mean, I could have saved that. So I was disappointed in our players for that reason. There's too many people there with, you know, their first touch is a pass, and they should be better than that. I'm not expecting people to, you know, bring it down at shoulder height with a perfect first touch, because, like you said earlier, if they could do that, they wouldn't be playing for us. But I'm talking about a ball just going to somebody and it literally hitting their foot and bouncing a yard away. And you're not going to get that much time in the Championship. And it is an unforgiving division, but we need to be at our best. And the last two games, we've really been far from our best. And I'm only expecting the players to do what they're capable of. I'm not expecting Andreas Weidmann to turn into Kevin De Bruyne. I don't expect it, but I do expect him to be able to trap the ball, shoot and pass it.
Mark, let's come on to you. The substitutions, they sort of three of them happened in the space of, I've got 12 minutes here. O'Dowda came on for Weidmann. Weidmann didn't want to go off. You know, I mean, some people would say, well, maybe we'll have to do without him, which might force that midfield two combo to be broken up. Then Sessegnon, worryingly, sprinting, pulled up. Taylor Moore substituted, but that was really just to throw an extra man in attack. How did you see the substitutions yourself, Mark, the three of them?
Well, Sessegnon looks like, I mean, it could be a bad hamstring. If he's torn it, then poor lad's going to be out for months. And it, you know, hamstrings sometimes, are they a case of, you know, not playing enough football or the muscle not being warm enough? I don't know, but... And Weidmann, again, he wasn't challenged for his injury. So I thought, yeah, that did encourage, you know, that did it put the emphasis on attack. But it was the free kick that we won on halfway inside their half that got the penalty. And it was a bad mistake for Roberts to give that away. Good cross, you know, cross into the box by Brunt. But... Well, though we had a lot of the ball and Swansea dropped behind the ball and were trying to hit us on the counter-attack, we just couldn't, pumped it into the box like we did against Middlesbrough and try and force a mistake, it just didn't happen. We had chances, but we were laboured in our passing. It was just too laboured. But it was still a good point at the end of the day, because we could have easily lost the game. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, Dave, the penalty that we got, I say it was no worse than the one that Semenyo didn't get. But do you think that was a definite penalty? And clearly Naki Wells, the right man to take the spot, even though he'd only been on a few moments.
Yeah, if it was against us, I'd probably be moaning a bit. But I think, you know, Semenyo and him have had a bit of a tussle, haven't they? And he's he's run away from him, and the guy's stuck his leg up. Whether he stuck his leg up intentionally or not, it doesn't matter, you know. Mm. And I think the ref, for lots and lots of awful decisions today, actually gave the right one for that. You know, I'm sure Swansea fans will be, you know, saying it was an awful decision, but he's caught the bloke unintentionally, in my opinion, and it's a penalty. And
yeah,
I was worried,
use that word there unintentionally, because that's why it wasn't a second booking, yeah, really, and yeah, a sending off. So, yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say that to Mark earlier, and then I think I was really worried that Pham was stood near the referee in the centre, the penalty spot, and I thought he was going to take it. For me, the penalty taker's got to be Naki Wells. I think Gigi missed his last penalty against Swansea, so I was keen that it was Wells who took it, and he dispatched it pretty confidently.
Okay, Rose, so that was it. 7 minutes of added time, and whilst City did have all those forwards on, they huffed and puffed, but didn't really create anything. Neither did Swansea, for that matter. Let's go through these match ratings. I'll shout mine out, and we'll do it through the sections of the team, beginning with the in-goal. I gave Bentley a 6. Anybody think he was worth more than that? Speak now.
Yeah, 7 for me. I thought a very, seven. Very accomplished display.
7 for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. Across the back, and let's take the back five here, that's Sess, Viner, Callas, Moore and De Silva. I've just gone across the board 6, because nobody was outstanding, but nobody dropped any ricks, really. Did you see, all of you agree with it from that point of view?
I mean Viner between 6 and 7, maybe, but I think Ian was right about Callas's distribution, but he made some great tackles. One on the penalty spot to stop Ayew in the first
half. That's right. Talked about that. You're right.
Yeah, he made two great tackles. Dave, I agree.
Yeah, Dave, your thoughts on that 6 across the board? Would you expect to see De Silva putting a bit more in?
I went a bit different. In fairness. I thought Viner had a really good game today. I think there's a couple of balls you could be critical of that he's kind of let bounce or let the guy get a header in. But I thought he had a really decent game today. I thought Callas gave us a load of assuredness in the playing as the central man, which is actually, funny enough, what I'd have done when he came on the other night rather than pay more. And and that's not me saying that in hindsight. I think most people, you know, go on the forum would say, if you've got a defensive three of Viner, Callas and Moore, I want my most experienced and my best defender in the middle. He's also my security on it. And, you know, we might not have conceded the goal the other night as a result of that. So I thought Callas was a 7 today. I thought he covered round the back. I'm really interested to see some of the stats on this, because I didn't think he gave a ball away in the first half, and then he gave away 2 or 3 in about 5 minutes in the second half. And I'm thinking, that's the first time he's given a ball away today. I might be wrong on that. It's just the way I saw it. And I thought De Silva, and I'm having a bit of a debate on Twitter at the moment with someone saying he gives us no end product. And I get that. But I think today was key to us keeping the ball.
Yeah.
It's no disrespect to Tommy Rose coming and done a really good job. But I don't think we build those attacks like we did in the first half with that kind of triangle of Brunt, Semenyo and De Silva if we've got Tommy Rowe there. So I kind of, whether it's a 7 or not, I don't know. But a bit of variability there. So that's kind of my back five. I think it was our back five was decent today.
Yeah,
I think, jumping in there. I think the problem is, I think more. I think it does affect him when he has to play left sided centre back. He wasn't as poor as he was against Coventry at times. But I mean, he was robbed in the first half on the right side, and a dangerous cross came over, but there was nobody in the box. And we did give a couple of loose passes away. He's not quite he's definitely not as comfortable there as he is playing central. He's right footed, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think those three, and I kind of said, you know, Moore has to be the kind of sacrificial lamb in that, as the one who has to play out the position. Mm. So I think if you play Callas there, you lose his ability to organise in the centre.
Yeah, and obviously if they were fit, you'd have Mawson and Baker, who could both play on that left side, and we wouldn't have the problems that we got at the moment. Moving into the middle, I've given Chris Brunt a 7, because for 36-year-old or however old he is, he managed to keep going for the whole 90 minutes. And look, I'm in the Viman-Pato combo no camp. I've given both of those 5s today because, you know, they just don't, as GJ used to say, affect the game. Anybody want to give Viman and Pato more? Bruntless guys. Ian, first, just your view on that midfield.
On Weidman and Pato, I think Pato did one very, very good thing when he created that chance, but with the interception and went past three players and did the really difficult bit and then made a mess of the finish. But no, I wouldn't have a problem giving either on a five because I just don't think they did enough to control the game in that midfield. And when you're playing in a narrow midfield, you have to have an element of control. And the same thing happened to Brunton that happens to Backinson, that they get isolated and they get caught trying to defend and doing the defensive work. In some ways, you don't want Pato back in our defensive third because he's a bit of a liability. You want him up in our attacking third. And I think in trying to play in midfield, that neither of them really did that. They didn't defend well and they didn't attack well. So you have to ask the question, well, okay, then what did they really do well over the 90 minutes? I'm not talking about the odd thing, because we can all do that. But no, I think over the 90 minutes, I'd be happy at that. I don't think Brunt was exceptional, but I think he was decent. I just don't know if he's got another 90 minutes in him for the Bournemouth game, but yeah, at least we've got cover in that position.
Well,
I don't think Brunt necessarily extended himself in there today. I think but he is, he's 36, so we'll see whether there are any kind of niggles, little muscles aching tomorrow morning. Yeah, probably needs the ice bath. Patterson was a real funny one for me today because I thought he did loads of good work in the first half, closing down Dewey, the left centre back. So actually, he was probably more effective in stopping Swansea playing out than being able to get on the ball himself. But on the ball today, he gave us absolutely nothing. I'd been even tempted to go as low as a four, but I've kind of marked him back up a bit purely.
What? Who's that for?
For Patterson, purely on the stuff he did for the prep. God. He gave the ball away for the goal, so it wasn't a
vintage. Yeah, that's a bit harsh for you, Dave. Okay, up but front.
The idea was not to let Swansea play out. And I mean, they did to us more or less, but not as effectively we did to them what Middlesbrough did to us. They stopped Backinson passing it forward and they stopped the two wing backs getting up the field by pushing wingers onto them.
Did you think that as that first half went on, Brunt got into the game more and he got on the ball more? Yeah. In their half, even if it was just into their half, and started to dictate, and I think that was the kind of encouraging sign for me that we did finally get Brunt. Although I think Viner had a lot of ball in the first 20 minutes where he looked down the line for a Sessegnon or looked into Martin Patterson, and then he started to get his eyes open and look inside, and he started finding easy passes to Brunt. He was finding good space, and then Brunt started to dictate a little bit.
That was a real
positive for me.
It was. Let's go to the forwards. I mean, the two that started this time, some people are saying the loving with Chris Martin has ended a bit. I thought he did okay. He didn't look particularly mobile today. I've given him a six. I was going to give him a five, but I marked him up to a six because he got on the end of that cross from Sessegnon with a header that went just wide. But a six for him. And Antoine Semenyo, I thought in the first half, I thought he bullied them. His close ball control was better than I've seen it. It wasn't bouncing off him too much. He should have had a penalty at the end of the first half. He did win the penalty, which gave us equalising goal. Dave, an eight and a six from your perspective, those two, Semenyo and Martin?
I'm not sure I could go as far as an eight, but I gave a few sevens, out of which Semenyo was the best seven, if that makes sense. I thought he did a load of really good work today. I think there was a couple of occasions you think, if he can just get that half a yard away, he's going to be flying. And it just didn't quite happen for him. But yeah, he got the penalty. And he was, he was my man of the match today, but only just.
Yeah.
I think Antoine Semenyo needs games.
Yeah.
To be honest, the one combination that we haven't tried is Wells and Semenyo, and it might be an idea to do that. I definitely rest Chris Martin to the bench against Bournemouth because I thought that was probably his worst game for us, and he wasn't brilliant against Borough. And I think he was his first touch, unusually for him. Normally, when you play the ball into him, he holds it up and links brilliantly. But the last two games, he hasn't done that. Now, whether that's because we're playing at home and teams are sitting back a bit and it's more difficult, or whether, you know, I mean, every game he must get knocks because of the way he plays. So I would rest him to the bench. And if I didn't have to bring him on at Bournemouth, I wouldn't. So that he's then 100% fresh and available for a really difficult home game against Norwich. Because, you know, what we can't do is pick up, you know, I mean, that, especially if we don't win at Bournemouth, that becomes a bit of a must win. Because otherwise, we've played three home games out of four and picked up 3 points from them.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult situation at the moment. And very quickly, Mark, your thoughts on the two forwards, because I want to come on to the, you know, the midfield combo and the missing players, both the injured ones and the, so say, out of favour ones. But before we do that, Mark, an 8 and a 6 or a 7 and a 5 for Semenyo?
Yeah, say a 7 for Semenyo, but some very good touches. He can spin on the ball. And if he can get away from his defender, like to see him take some shots, because he got into some great positions. And Martin, there was another time a ball was slung into the back post. He cushioned it down, and Vyman came onto it late with a defender, and he lashed it over the bar. I think that's the one, the chance that you didn't mention in the first half, but otherwise he didn't really feature in that game. But it was Semenyo's work rate that impressed me, where Wells doesn't seem to work so hard. Semenyo really did put himself about. And I think there's a fledgling relationship with Martin there. I mean, they did form a little, quite an effective partnership against Exeter. There was some good movement there. But I may be a time to rest Martin against Bournemouth. I think I definitely play Backinson and Brunt if he's fit, because I think we got two dangerous players who can hit him on the break.
Well, that's interesting you say, playing Backinson and Brunt, because I can't see anything on the forum about Backinson not being fit. And I would have thought today you could have dropped one of Vyman or Pato, because people need to, we keep talking about relocation, but these two seem to be undroppable. And as somebody's put on here, I don't know who London Bristolian is on the forum, he says, I know the injuries cannot be helped, but with Masengo and Nash clearly out of favour, we seem to be in a weird situation where, despite having a huge range of midfield options, we suddenly seem to have a real shortage of midfield options. Yeah, I mean, Dave, this seems ridiculous. We've come on to the absentees through injury, but you'd have thought a game like today, you could have said to Pato and Vyman, right, one of you is going to start, one of you is right out of it, bring Backinson on, and let's have, what's gone wrong with Nadj and Masengo? We used to berate Johnson for having players he didn't like, but, you know, these two, surely they could have been in the 18, if not both, one of them.
Yeah, I said at the start of this, Dave, I thought that we'd only play one of Patterson and Vyman today. I thought we'd play Brunt and Backinson in there. And I think, you know, assuming that was a kind of Freudian slip in terms of saying Backinson instead of Baker in the post-match interview, then I kind of fully expect Backinson to play alongside Brunt on Wednesday night.
But Brunt's just done 90 minutes. Now, okay, it's Wednesday rather than Tuesday. Brunt's just done 90. He's the sort of player that you want to bring on with half an hour to go if you're defending a lead. It'd be great if we were in that situation, rather than run him into the ground. And you could, you know.
I don't think he runs a lot, Dave.
No.
he's right. He's pretty much on a bungee run from the centre spot, isn't he? And he probably goes 15 yards either way. So, and I'm sure he's covered plenty of kilometres today, but it'll be kilometres at jogging pace rather than intense running.
And Why not Nash, who played 2 2/3 games in the international break? There's no questioning his fitness. You know, I mean,
the fittest guy there on the beat.
He did. That's right. It was. I remember that. Ian, what do you think? Never mind the injured ones. What is it about these two that they don't even make the 18? Yeah, I mean, if we lose, let's say we lost at Bournemouth and then got a draw or lost against Norwich, as somebody said a moment ago, you're in a bit of a bad run. When are these guys going to get a run out? Or are they just, I don't like you, I don't like how you play, I'm not even going to consider you, Ian.
Well, I mean, let's look at it in simple terms. We've paid £6.6 million for those two. Mm. So that points to poor recruitment. And before this season started, we finished up with, and I say finished up with because it couldn't have been a plan, 19 players who could play across midfield. If you say there are four positions across midfield, there's wide right, wide left, two in the middle. Just say that for the sake of argument. Now, some of them, like Rowe and Viner, can play somewhere else, but a lot of them can't. So I think they'll both, well, they need to come back in because we've got a squad of 28 players, three are on loan, and then we've now got six injured. That takes us down to 19, three of which are goalkeepers. So yeah. I think if they're not in the squad, I don't think you can make up a squad unless he brings in somebody like Taylor out the under-23s, and I don't think he will. So they have to play. I mean, we don't see what they're like in training. They might be sulking a bit. You don't know. But you have to use those as players. And if Backinson isn't fit, then I would start, if Brunt is available, I would start with Nash and Brunt, and I'd put Masengo on the bench. And don't forget, Tommy Rowe can also play in midfield and played a lot of games there for Doncaster.
Yeah.
So, and Tommy Rowe will put a footy. And I think Tommy Rowe, in fairness, has got a decent shot on him and can cross the ball and will score a few goals. So we've got that option. The only place we haven't got an option is at the back three. And so unless, you know, people...
What about Backinson? Well, Backinson has been mooted.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen him play that position in the Championship game. I don't think he ever has. And I think he's a good footballer. I think he could probably play there, but I don't know whether he's defender enough to play there because it's not just about being able to jump up and head a ball or tackle somebody. It's about positional sense. So you've got him, you've got Tommy Rowe, we saw play left side centre back, albeit that was against Villa. So I don't think you can judge too much on that. And then you start looking around and thinking, is there somebody in the under-23s like Towler or Baldwin that we can bring in? So we've got a real problem if one of our central defenders gets a knock. I think we've got enough cover in the other areas, particularly up front. So, and we just basically have to go with what we've got. It really is as simple as that.
Yeah. Mark, what are your thoughts on, we've got this surfeit of midfield players, but they're not ones to collectively play in what appears to be Dean's chosen formation.
Well, you think the reason that Masengo and Nagy aren't playing is because they aren't physical enough. But then, of course, you've got Patterson and Vyman who can't tackle. So I don't know what it is. I think Nagy could play in that central midfield. Not sure about Masengo. Got a bit overwhelmed with the box midfield that Coventry played in the first game, and it was only when Backinson came on that the game changed, and we managed to get the win. But yeah, we got a lot of options, and I think Tommy Rowe could play in there, or Adam Nash. I think Masengo is completely out of favour. I mean, I had half an eye on Casey Palmer until he got transferred out, because obviously they were they're tethered with him.
I mean, Dave, with these midfielders, I mean, do we only get $200,000 for Morel? Is that all we got for him?
I don't know how much it is. Speculation from some of the journos was that it was not £200,000. It was more than that. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was. He's got a 3 or 4 year deal, and it's £200,000 a year in stage payments. So it's more like £800,000. But yeah, I don't know. The worry for me is what's happened to Nagy. You know, he's not even making the 18, is he? Masengo's been in the 18, and he started at the start of the season as well. Masengo was on the bench. Was it game before last as well?
Yeah.
So today, just. I know Dean has said that he will pick his subs not just to cover positions but to cover eventualities. And I guess today, in some respects, the subs helped us get the point. But, you know, I,
I'm just questioning. Maybe, you know, with, I'll say hindsight is a wonderful thing. You know, if we'd have got Massengo out on loan and hung on to Joe until the January window, and I say hung on to Joe, right? You know, Walsh and Williams not available until after the next international break. That is the thing that was said at the press conference. So that means they're not available until the 21st of November. Wow. You know, did we get rid of the wrong player? Well, the wrong two players, because we're without what would have been our two mainstays without injuries. I mean, Ian,
But to be honest, Dave, I think there's two reasons why Massengo didn't go out. One of them is a personal reason, and that's he's got his family moved over to Bristol. So I'm assuming that they look after him and he's more or less living at home, if you will, if he's got all his family with him.
Yeah.
The second one is someone has to want him and be prepared to pay his wages. And they, you know, where is he going to go? The only place I could think he could have gone was back to France.
Or what about one of the other local Southwest clubs, you know, a Cheltenham, a Plymouth, an Exeter, just to give him game time?
Well, that might work, but would they, you know, I don't know. We've signed him from Monaco for £4.5 million. Now, you know, what kind of wages is he on? He's probably on pretty decent money. Would Plymouth even want to pay half that in a pandemic? And a
salary cap as well.
Is it,
he's under 21, so he probably wouldn't cost anything in that respect.
And is that the right type of football for him to play?
Not clogged.
It's a difficult one, but I'd rather have Massengo. I mean, what you've got in midfield with Patterson and Weinman is you have got goals. They will both score goals.
True.
But they can do that further up the field.
Correct.
So I'm just, you know, but I'm really concerned about these injuries now, because it looks a lot like we've not known what we're doing with Walsh and Williams. Mm-hmm. I heard Williams say out of his own mouth, I'll be available for the Barnsley game. And you're now telling me he's going to be out for another
5 weeks?
3 weeks. Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks on top of that. Easily. So, you know, my answer is I'd be comfortable seeing Naj next to Brunt or Backinson in the middle of midfield. And I would play Pato, but I'd play him as a 10 behind two strikers, particularly away from home. I think he could be really effective and he takes the set pieces.
Yeah. Steve's made the comment here that he's never been convinced that Nagy's been happy in Bristol. And if he's not on board, he can imagine Dean leaving him out. I mean, could Nagy have been palmed off to a European club in the window?
They'd have to want him, Dave, wouldn't they? Sorry saying palm him off, but someone's got to want him and they've got to come to us with a bid. I mean, I don't know. The only thing I got annoyed with him last year when he went and played for Hungary when he was injured. Now, you might have, you know, Holden might be in the same camp as me, saying, well, if you think that little of the club, you know, we're not going to pick you. But it's got to the point now where it's standing out like a sore thumb, and we've literally got to select him because you ain't got anybody else.
No, that's true. Okay, so I think we've done this game to death, the final score 1-1. Rolling on, we got an extra day's break because the next match is on a Wednesday. Dave, Bournemouth, I watched their game against Watford today, or bits of it, enough to see Lloyd Kelly lucky to stay on the field with his kung fu kick on one of the Watford guys. And they did get a deserved equaliser. As they say, what can we expect from Bournemouth? They're not a bad side, are they? So what do you think it'll be like on Wednesday?
It'll be a tough game. I think, you know, having started to have a little look at them over the last couple of days, a bit of research, they're another team that's got high-flying wing-backs like Swansea had, although I thought we dealt with that quite well today. I think it might suit us being away from home against them on Wednesday night, but they've got some quality. Just got Josh King came back into the side today, who was rumoured to be going for several million pounds to some Premier League teams. The person who's really impressed me for them is Solanke.
Yeah,
he's probably not got the goals that he deserves, but he's more than happy just to kind of get that half a yard, roll off his man and take a shot. And I think we're going to have to be really, really careful with that on the Wednesday night. And, you know, they've got good players like Billing in midfield, you know, probably cost 15 million or something like that from Huddersfield a couple of seasons ago. Gosling, who's a very underrated player at that level in the centre midfield, giving them a bit of experience. Lerma went off injured today, which could be a blessing. He's another really, really talented player. So I made a point on Twitter earlier that I think what we're seeing with lots of teams is lots of muscle injuries from a shortened pre-season.
Yeah.
The international break, I think, came at a good time, because I think those little muscle injuries might have happened last Saturday rather than, you know, this set of weekend game. I think it's could be a real problem for teams going forward.
Yeah.
We've got a reasonable size squad in the main until all these injuries. Some teams have got smaller squads than us. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark, a point would be a great achievement at Dean Court or wherever it's called these days, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, the Vitality Stadium, and those other insurers are available with little Dachshunds. Yeah, I mean, they got Junior Stanislaus came on today, and this guy they got up front with Joskin Groeneveld, this young Dutch player. And I think they got players who are capable, you know, of scoring out of nothing. I remember seeing their opening game against Blackburn, they scored 3 goals, but they still conceded 2. So I think they will give us a chance. But, you know, with physical players like Chris Binnen in midfield for them, I think we're going to have to keep it tight, and it will be physical. Another physical encounter, you know.
And a tight little pidget is down there.
Exactly,
as well,
down there. Oh, God, yeah. Very small.
Been there a few times. Would you concur, Ian, that a point at the aforementioned stadium name is a fantastic result, yeah?
Yeah, I would. I think we've been forced into changes. So, the back three and the goalkeeper pick themselves. The wing backs are probably going to be, I'm guessing, De Silva and Hunt, definitely yeah. Hunt. Then you've got three, I'd put two in midfield and put Pato in as a 10 and probably start with something like Zizou and Semenyo up front. I think you've definitely got to rest Chris Martin. I think your midfield two is if he's fit, Backinson and Brunt once again, if they want to get him to do another 90 minutes. But I wouldn't be heartbroken to see Adam Nash in there. But I think we do need that solidity in the midfield. And I, in terms of Nash, he is good at interceptions and he is a decent passer of the ball. He's not going to do wonder passes off the outside of his foot, but he can get forward and have a shot. And if he's playing a through ball, he'll play it accurately. And I think, you know, you like somebody's just said, I think Steve said, good opportunity to try Wells in Semenyo. Yeah, you know, I think that's a formation. I think we might need Pham for a bit more physicality. I know that he has one of his better games. I think a point... I'd take a point now and not play the game, to be honest.
Where you got Brunt where Brunt will play in front of the back three or at the base of midfield a couple of times a day, played a couple of weighted passes that were just short of Semenyo going forward, and we're going to be on the defensive, I think, quite a lot on Wednesday night. I think that his passing could be vital for opening him up on the counter-attack.
It definitely could be. Well, let's hopefully he's got the legs.
If he's got the legs in him, but, you know, like I've made this point over and over again, I'll make it again. You know, can we please not kill all our players by Christmas like we normally do? Because, I mean, I had Chris Honour and Jeff Twentyman telling me the other night that, oh, whoa, Martin's got a start, he's got to play. So with the FA Cup games, what's he going to play, 51 games?
Well, he did that after me. He tore me off a strip and then he tried to tear free off you by trying to be devil's advocate, didn't he?
Yeah, but my view is that if I had Chris Martin in this room with me now and I said to him, do you reckon you'll be able to play 50-odd games this season, because that's what you're talking about with FA Cup games, he'd say, well, no, it's not sensible. And I don't think it is.
No, so, I agree.
you know.
You agree with that, Dave? You agree with that, Dave, as well? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do. I actually listened back to. I didn't join radio or didn't listen into Radio Bristol until they were just finishing off Slater New Ian. So I actually listened back to it this morning. And, you know, we could have a joke about you and your insistence on 3-4-3. It took you all about 5 minutes to mention that to Ben. But I actually did agree with your point on Chris Martin. I actually thought that Chris Honor's review of Chris Martin the other night was off, because I didn't think Chris Martin had a very good game. The ball didn't stick. And I thought it was quite derogatory of him to then come on and say, Famara's got a trampoline touch. You know, that's the kind of comment an amateur like me would say. And I don't think a professional pundit should be saying those kind of things, if I'm being honest.
About a fellow professional, no.
I think a leaf out of Gary Arra's book. Gary's a lot more professional about these things, I think.
The bit I wanted to add in, though, is, you know, if we play Brunt in that kind of position and assume that he's still got the legs to get through, let's say, 75 minutes against Bournemouth on Wednesday, I actually think we get to see Backinson as that slight more box-to-box midfielder that he can do as well. So we talk about, you know, maybe getting a bit isolated in terms of our midfield away from the front two, but actually it might be Backinson who's making those kind of, what's the kind of, I can't remember what the term, like those kind of languidy stride runs from midfield, and we've not really had that for a long time since
Elliot.
I think back into Bakinson,
yeah, I mean, the culture, the purists would say he's like a Patrick Vieira because he's got the physique, and other people might say he's a little bit like Carlton Palmer because he's got that slightly gangly approach. But if you put those two players together and you said that Backinson, then he's got a good future in the game. There we go. Guys, it's time to wrap up today. Hopefully those that have listened have had better sound quality. We're trying our best. A lot of it might be down to the room where my internet is, because I've actually sat in a different room in my Tickenham Towers where we're speaking from. But, you know, thank you for all
your... 6 foot walls, Dave, is it?
Thanks for all your contributions, as usual.
Just one more thing.
Go on.
I was really hoping that, you know, we'd have this to mention after the Middlesbrough game, but I was hoping we get the Premier League next season. We'll be playing the likes of Man United, and it was 42 years last Wednesday since Kevin Mabbott scored that
Kevin Mabbott hat trick. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
42 years. Can you believe that?
I know.
Ian would be too young to remember that, wouldn't you, Ian?
I would, yeah. A closing one from me. The next time we do a podcast, can we have a feature on contracts? Because there's an awful lot of contracts running out down there. And you might say, well, if we're in the Prem, fine, let them run down because we need better players. But if I had to bet my house either way, I'd say we're not going to be in the Prem. we need to make our minds up about some players, and we've got five that could be considered pretty much automatic. They're certainly in the 18, if not automatic first team choices. And we've got five of them going out of contract who cost us,
there you go,
probably about 13, 14 million quid combined. So I'd like to know.
If you let them go if they go on free. Yeah. Dave, a final one from you. Any thoughts that you'd like? Anything you want to discuss that, you know, is your thing?
Not what I want to discuss, but I think we saw today that Swans can come to Bristol and nick a couple of points or stop you winning a couple of points, but they can't break your arm.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Right, and on that note,
there's one more thing I thought.
Here we go.
Finally, Colombo.
With Molson's probably long-term injury, why not look, see if there is anybody, and there's no harm in looking to see if there's any unattached players.
But you've got to get them up to fitness. Ryan Shotton was hanging around on the forum, but, you know...
He's on the forum, was he? I wonder where he was.
No, he wasn't. No, there was his name. That's the only one that I can think of.
Mariappa's the other guy.
Are they match fit? No, none
of them will they?
You have to have somebody on the bench.
As one of you guys said, we are a work in progress. We're second in the league after seven games. I think we were spoilt by winning the first four, because if you'd have said under Dean Holden, was it 14? Is it 14 points we got? Yeah, 14 points after seven games, we'd have taken that, you know, without any shadow of a doubt.
That's 2 points a game.
It's 2 points a game. And it's just that the last three games have been very poor performances. Mm. I have to say, in the four that we won, we weren't massively convincing, like you've seen some of the promoted sides. And goodness me, what the hell have Reading got in their tea, coffee, or whatever they drink down the end of the M4? Because they just keep going and going. Lads, that's it for Saturday night. Thanks for your contributions. Don't think we'll be doing well Wednesday, but Sunday, next Saturday, it's a 12:30 kickoff. So we'll probably do something about 3 o'clock or something like that. But guys, have a good evening. All right.
Good luck.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.